Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
We know you're uncertain about psychics. Is this fortune teller you found on a forum legit?
Your one true love is...
me!
That's why California psychics reject 98% of the psychics who apply to work with us. We guarantee, if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. New customers receive 20 minutes for just $20. So, experience the joy of certainty at CaliforniaPsychics.com. Experience the joy of certainty. California Psychics.
Black Friday savings are here at the Home Depot, which means it's time to add new cordless power to your collection. Right now, when you buy a select battery kit from one of our top brands like Ryobi or Milwaukee, you'll get a select tool from that same brand for free. Click into one of our best deals of the season and stock up on tools for all your upcoming projects. Get Black Friday savings happening now at the Home Depot. Limit one per transaction. Exclusions apply. Full eligible tool list in-store and online.
At Sierra, discover joyous deals on great gifts for everyone on your list, like cozy slippers, ski gear, fishing poles, bikes, large kayaks, even larger canoes. Whew. Which might lead to another discovery. Wrapping gifts is the only sport you need to stay fit this season. Tis the season to discover great gifts at unexpectedly low prices. Sierra, let's get moving.
This is North South.
Hey everybody, Tim Kawakami here. We are the North and South Podcast with my co-host, the future California Sports Writer of the Year, Dylan Hernandez of the Los Angeles Times. If I have any little tiny input into that, you're winning. You're winning. All right, Dylan Hernandez, we are on a topic just breaking this Monday morning that you've been dying to talk about. I think you've been involved in the hire. I think people have been checking with you, making sure. I probably put a call into Lane Kiffin just to see if he would be interested in the UCLA job. But no, the reporting is, I think it's ESPN just reporting that Bob Chesney, the James Madison coach, a pretty good background there. If we know the last James Madison coach doing pretty well, is very close to being hired as a new UCLA coach. You brought his name up. I think that'd been the reporting for a little while there. I don't know anything about him other than seems to be a very, very solid coach. Obviously, the Cignetti path going from James Madison to Indiana is very strong. But I thought, you know, Jonathan Smith would have been my choice. I mentioned that, the just fired Michigan State coach. Maybe you don't want to hire a fired guy. I think Pat Fitzgerald could have gotten a call. He got is who Michigan State did hire. Where are you with Bob Chesney? Where are you as the number one most powerful alum in UCLA history? Maybe right behind Bob Myers. Where are you on Bob Chesney?
I don't know, man. I just don't think, you know, I mean.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees.
My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of the Snacks Lab.
We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
UCLA has kind of been, right, in these parts, kind of thought of as like a sleeping giant of sorts, right? You know, it's like, okay, well, people, beautiful campus, people are going to want to play here. And it kind of doesn't seem to matter who they bring in, right? I mean, I thought like Jim Mora, right, was a good hire, and, you know, he started off well, and things just kind of happen here that it's just kind of hard to get them out of neutral, you know? So I don't know, you know, I mean, I guess if you have to hire somebody and if you're going to kind of play this game, which obviously they, you know, I think, you know, Casey Wasserman obviously getting involved and kind of building their practice facility on campus. And, you know, when they went, you know, in the Chip Kelly direction, obviously that kind of, right, they showed their intention of like, okay, like we're going to try to actually compete in this thing. I'm just still, I mean, I guess I just haven't really seen it in my lifetime, you know, other than maybe like a year or two of like Bob Toledo, where they're like,
Bob Toledo, come on now. Don't look down on Bob Toledo.
So I'm just, I don't know. I'm a skeptic, and I don't think that this is nothing against Chess. I don't think it matters who you bring in here.
Let's just put it this way. Let's say he's a good coach. Maybe he's bland. Maybe he's not. They go 9-3. You don't think the UCLA, I mean, just the fact of going 9-3 just doesn't do it for you?
I don't think it does. You know, I just think that this market in this particular time, it's difficult, right? I mean, even, you know, USC right now, right? They're 9-3. And I mean, it's, you know, I mean, probably since midseason, it's been like, hey, let's wait until next year. Maybe they can compete then, right? I mean, it's the threshold to kind of break in here is really tough. And we've talked about the trouble that the NFL teams have had. You know, and obviously UCLA, I mean, you go back the last, God, I don't know how long now. I mean, it started obviously like sometime in the Chip Kelly era where the Rose Bowl is like half, I mean, more than half empty most games, right? It's really, really empty. So to, you know, to kind of turn this thing around, I mean, it's going to take kind of more, right? It's going to take NIL stuff. You know, I've heard coaches obviously talk about how difficult it is to kind of get athletes there because of the academic standards. So I'm not completely sold on this thing. You know, I one thing I just kind of read, and maybe this kind of, I mean, this touches on obviously, right, the Northern California schools too, where just kind of where is kind of college football right now in California? You know, I did kind of go into the USC game, honestly, kind of thinking like, okay, well, you know, again, they're kind of off the radar as far as most of the city's concerned. That said, when you actually show up to the Coliseum, right, and I was just there for USC, UCLA, the SC fans are there. Right. Yeah. They're waiting for something special to happen. It reminds me a lot of kind of like the Laker, you know, crowds in recent years, you know, pre-Luka, where it was like, you know, the moment that they kind of sense that something special is happening, the place just kind of comes to life. And all of a sudden you're like, oh, right. They're not that far culturally, I think, from kind of right becoming very relevant again. You know, that said, you know, with SC right now, they just kind of seem to kind of be stuck, right? They can't afford to fire Lincoln Riley. They're kind of, right, he can't seem to win the big one. They're just kind of stuck, it seems. Now, as far as the other, you know, I mean, I'm going to throw in UCLA, Stanford, and Cal all kind of in the same thing here. Can you kind of get back to where, you know, these places are full and when there's like legitimate buzz, you know, in their respective markets? I'm not so sure about that now.
I don't know that you could ever really do it at Stanford, because even when they had Harbaugh and Andrew Luck, who was running the program now, and they were really good. They were really fun to watch still. And I don't know if you watch those games, were super fun to watch. They didn't really fill up the stadium unless SC was in town. So I don't think they're going for that. I think they're just going for, can we get to a 10-win season every 3 years? And we can talk about that in a little bit. Maybe UCLA is at that level. I always think of UCLA a little bit higher. You talk about Casey Wasserman. Myers was part of the, you know, the selection committee. Like, these are big time dudes in the sporting world. UCLA's got kind of more contact to that than a lot more contact to that than SC does, frankly. It doesn't have the football tradition. That's why I think they're going to end up at SoFi Stadium. Obviously they got the lease with the Rose Bowl. It doesn't work if you've kind of got a borderline program to take buses out 45 minutes, hour to the stadium, and you're trying to get students to get out there. At some point, I think they're going to end up at SoFi, which is closer, and there will be some appeal just to go to games at SoFi, I think. But, yeah, we'll see. They just got to win. I mean, you know, they tried the Sean Foster thing. Was obviously a disaster. The alum who just appeals to the heart. Chip Kelly was more the brain. Like, he can do this. He did it at Oregon. That didn't work. His heart wasn't in it. Maybe Chesney splits the difference. I would have gone for a little higher profile, but I get if he's a great coach, he's a great coach. Stanford hires DeVita Pritchard, which is kind of a different thing. I think it's kind of different spectrums for Cal, Stanford, and UCLA and these hires, even though the programs might be similar places, although UCLA has the Big Ten thing, which has its pluses and minuses. They do have more money. DeVita Pritchard is just a Stanford guy. Like, he's not quite just Deshaun Foster, but he's like through and through Stanford guy. He's the guy Andrew Luck beat out at Stanford, by the way. I remember that very clearly. Was an okay quarterback. He's the one who beat SC down, and that's one of the great Jim Harbaugh victories, one of the great Stanford victories, one of the great college football upsets of all time, 40-point underdogs, and they beat him down there in Harbaugh's first year. Hasn't been an incredible coach around the league, around the NFL or in college. He was I think the offensive coordinator at Stanford a little while ago. We'll see. You know, it's just kind of like a Stanford guy. They went with a Stanford guy. I think Cal, I would imagine Tosh Lapoy, who's the defense coordinator at Oregon, and is a Cal guy, Cal player, Cal assistant, but more of the kind of, he's been at Alabama. He's more of that high profile. He's going to be, is there a next Dan Lanning? Maybe it's Tosh. That's Cal. If Cal ends up with him, they're kind of going for a higher plane, I would think. Certainly a guy who could coach there for 2 years, win 8 games and go. I don't know that DeVita Pritchard is that. And I don't know that maybe Bob Chesney is that at UCLA. It doesn't feels like it's kind of in the mix of if it's Lapoy, Chesney, Pritchard, you know, we're going 1, 2, 3. And if we're ranking like kind of commodities, but you're right. It's a different approach to it. I'm going to go to the presser for Pritchard tomorrow. Luck will be there. Other people will be there. Be curious the way they pitch this. But it feels like, you know, they're trying to hire the guy to be there for 15 years. I don't know that you can say that, but for Bob Chesney at UCLA, and whoever Cal hires, if it's Lapoy, don't know, could be someone else. Maybe you're not really saying that. Stanford's kind of going for the comfortable hire that Andrew Luck knows this guy, played with this guy, NFL experience, quarterback experience. Like, it hits the checks Does he really going to move the program? We shall see on that. I don't know if the excitement level is ever going to be too high for Stanford. For Cal, it's a little more like SC. It's a weird little thing, even though it's a public school. There's just more people who went to Cal, more people who care about Cal football. There's much more angst about Cal. The Calgarithm is great on Twitter and all that social media stuff. You know, there's a passion there. I don't know. There's a budget deficit. There's all those weird things with that one. I think Cal is going to try to take a big swing because they fired Justin Wilcox with 6 wins, by the way, Dylan. And it might be a high risk, high reward swing. And maybe you're better off not taking those swings. Jeff Tedford was kind of like a Bob Chesney hire, but he was a freaking home run when that hire was made. We'll see. Although he was a former Oregon coordinator and Tosh LePoy's former Oregon, if they hire him, would be former Oregon coordinator. It's a long way of saying none of them are the top choices for anybody. I had this guy grilling me. Well, Pritchard didn't do this. Pritchard was part of, like, if he was a great, no doubt choice, he would not be taking the Stanford job. That's just the reality of this. And you can say the same thing about UCLA with Chesney and who knows with Cal. That's my roundabout summation. What do you think about what's going on at Stanford and what Cal should do?
Yeah, again, I don't know. To me, like, again, I just think it's hard to kind of create, like, excitement, right? You know, once you kind of, like, lose an audience. And look, like, hey, us at the LA Times, we know that better than anybody. Once you kind of lose an audience, it's tough to get it back, you know? And, you know,
and you also moved your stadium from downtown LA to El Segundo, so, you know.
Yeah, we did, that. You know, again, yeah. So, you know, you got that too, right? And I just think, man, you know, with so many of these coaches too, I mean, you know, you bring up like Jonathan Smith, right? I think it's like kind of a good example. Like, you know, there are not many coaches, I think, right now that you can kind of, where you know where the floor is, right? I mean, I think, right, a lot of these hires, and you talk about these guys, you're talking kind of about like the ceiling, and the schools kind of look at the ceiling part of it. You don't know kind of where the floor is, right? And I think that's probably why, like in some part, like why Lane Kiffin, right, is kind of getting the money that he's getting, is that, like, you know, he shows up to your place. He's going to make you at least kind of competitive, right? I don't know if he's going to deliver a national championship at LSU necessarily, but you kind of know, okay, this is going to be kind of the baseline, and we can kind of avoid, right? You know, we've seen some of these at these big programs recently where just kind of the bottom falls out. You know, and we saw like at UCLA again, like when Chip Kelly got hired, that was a big deal.
Yep.
You know, you can't kind of forget that part of it. And it's just like, I don't know. To me, it's just, right, everybody, I mean, we're all kind of guessing here, right? Is this going to work? Is it not? Like, we don't really know. You know, we've seen kind of the floors again, right? Just kind of bottom out on these programs. And I'm just kind of not that convinced right now that, you know, again, just the atmosphere right now in California is kind of lends itself to kind of college football, right? Just the conference realignment, right? The fact that you're not sure, you know, the team, right, when you kind of had the Pac-10 and you kind of knew who was coming in when. You know, I think the fact that
USC and SC don't play Cal and Stanford, that's just absurd. I mean,
that's, yeah, you know, and I think, you know, I mean, to me, like one thing that's kind of right, kind of telling here is, you know, at SC, there's kind of this potential quarterback controversy kind of going on right now, right? Jaden Maiava, the starter, you know, told Ryan Cartier, our beat writer, that he intends to come back next year. You know, the expectation was that he would be gone at this point, and that the guy got a 5-star freshman who mm-hmm. played a little bit this year, Hassan Longstreet. And, right, the expectation was he was going to step in. And now, you know, Maiava comes back. You know, does Longstreet enter the transfer portal, right, which is entirely kind of possible now. And I just think, I'm thinking back, you know, even 10 years ago, that's a major story in L.A., right? Mm-hmm. And this is this is like a nothing story right now.
Yeah, I didn't even see it.
Yeah, right. See, so like, I mean, I think that's like really, really telling, right? Just kind of where things are right now. And if you can, you know, go, if you're a kid from California, you have an option to go play in the SEC right now, you know, because that's ultimately what's going to win you stuff, right? Is getting players, you know, the whole NIL thing, right? Obviously, like the money, you know, there's a lot of oil money in the South that gets, right, put back into these programs, you know, even though you do have great donors out here, right? it's not quite at that level. You know, I think obviously USC, they did buy the number one recruiting class, right? I mean, we can talk about buying now, right? They did have they're going to have the number one recruiting class coming in. But let's kind of see them do that year after year. You know, it's just kind of like a one shot type deal where it's just like, okay, we got to go in and make a difference now. And even then you're going to have to kind of wait a few years. So again, I'm just kind of skeptical, I guess, in general of college football right now in California. I'm just not so sure that things are going to kind of be able to turn around because again, even, you know, when I was right, I mean, God, it's been close to 20 years now, right? Since I was at the Merck. But, you know, Cal did something. Stanford did something. It was these were major, major stories. Yep. And it just doesn't feel like you're kind of getting the market penetration, both in L.A. and in the Bay Area, that you used to with college football.
It's so true. I mean, I used to write about Cal a lot at the Merck. And I cannot even remember the last time I wrote about him, though. And Stanford, I wrote about him a lot when it was Harbaugh and Luck, although a little less because I wrote about Cal a lot during the Marshawn Lynch, Rodgers stuff when they were really good. And we'd get readers upon readers. It's fallen off since then. And then Stanford with Luck and Harbaugh was not the greatest readership, but you still did it. I did it to keep a track of Harbaugh, by the way, because I knew this was a story. And that was not an incorrect decision by myself. But it just there's just nothing. There's no reason for me to write about it. Man, listen, there's the time. I'm going to go to the presser tomorrow. I don't know if I'm writing off of it. Andrew Luck is a very compelling figure, clearly, for a lot of people. It starts from that. But I don't know, you know, the whole breakdown of the Pac-12 was kind of, and I'm not saying, I think it's a reverse thing. I think the Stanford-Cal fall-off really helped cause the breakup of the Pac-12. Because USC and UCLA, if they really needed to play Cal and Stanford, they would never have left the Pac-12 like they did. When that became a plank that they didn't need anymore, and they could go to the Big Ten and then maybe Oregon and Washington follow them, which is what happened. That was the breakup of that, of basically a West Coast football. And that's Stanford and Cal's fault for falling into disrepair, just being boring and not being enough. And, you know, people don't love it when columnists complain that the team isn't interesting enough. That's the facts. We cover the stuff that people react to, that people want to read. Sometimes you throw them other things, but most of the time, I mean, we're going through this with Macklin Celebrini right now and the Sharks. Great, compelling story. I probably should write something, and maybe I will. I write about it here and there. But if I do, it's not going to be as big as anything I write on the 49ers or anything I write about the Warriors or, in a lesser regard, anything I write about the Giants. It's hard to make that decision. It's hard to make that call. And college football in California is up against the Warriors and the 49ers and the Lakers and the Rams and the Dodgers and all these other things that are just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. This is kind of what's happening in sports is the big stuff's only getting bigger and it's just and there's just less of them because our attention has to be focused so much on the freaking 49ers every day, all the time. It's not wrong. I do it. It just becomes, it kind of crowds out other teams. It's crowded out in the Bay Area. I talk about it all the time, Cal, Stanford. I mean, talk about college basketball. I used to cover college basketball. Never do that now. You know, me and my background in college basketball and hockey just crowded it out. And I think LA, certainly, you know, these monster teams just demand this attention from everybody. And I think college football has just been slashed apart. And they're lesser, every team's lesser for it. But at some point, I mean, I blame UCLA for being so weak. You couldn't say, SC, go to hell. We're going to do our own thing. They couldn't do that. But at some point, I can't blame SC for saying Cal and Stanford are meaningless to us. They are now meaningless to us. So we got to go find out a way to play better teams. Might hurt them in the long term, all those flights, all those weird TV times. But I get it. It's just a part of – it's me blaming Cal Stanford for the entire destruction of college sports in the West Coast, but I'm sort of doing it. They failed in a lot of ways for a lot of reasons. Maybe some of them are fine and respectable, but this is the truth of it, and it's kind of the reason why we all don't write about these teams very much.
Where is – you know, and again, I haven't been up there for college basketball in God forever, but, you know, even – I mean, UCLA even, right? I mean, you have a ranked team, you know, with a coach that has at least aspirations of kind of, or who has reached the Final Four with aspirations of getting back to the Final Four. And honestly, like, Pauley Pavilion is not you know, I mean, even they have to have like a marquee opponent really to kind of fill that place up. You know, for years, you know, Ben Bolch, who covers UCLA for us, he and I always kind of joked that, like, you know, UCLA became a gymnastics school for a while, right? Mm-hmm. And even, you know, right now, the women's team, you know, which is doing very well, and look, they deserve all the attention they get. But, you know, again, this would have been kind of unthinkable at some point, right? That the, you know, that the men and the women kind of like on an attendance thing, right? That the disparity isn't greater, you know, and it's just even on, again, UCLA men's basketball, you have the tradition, you kind of, you're right, they're competitive. They're having trouble kind of drawing an audience. And I think it's, again, it's a lot of kind of what you say, right? Especially, you know, social media, right? With kind of all the algorithms, like whatever people are looking at, the algorithm knows, and it just kind of keeps directing you back that way. And kind of the stuff that falls off that radar, you just don't see it at all. Right.
And it never comes back, you know, yeah. And that's talk about Los Angeles Times. I hate to be mean, but yeah, once you fall off a certain percentage, you're not coming back. You know, it's just the way, you know, attention spans work in the social media era. And I'll just go back to when I covered UCLA basketball, heydays of Pac-12. It was incredible. I really loved it. But we know what was big about it. Because you had rivalries with Arizona. You had big games against Arizona State. You go into Oregon, the MacArthur Court, and it was big deal. It meant something. And it wasn't across country. It was just up the West Coast. Games at Cal, Jason Kidd and all that stuff. Tremaine Folks, all these great players they had there. Ed Gray. Those were big deals. Games at Stanford with the Montgomery teams and, you know, Brevin Knight and all that were a big deal. It just, you had one after another where it was emotional. It meant something. There was knowledge. And when you split that apart, it's not the same playing Purdue, right? It's not the same playing whoever else, or Penn State, you know, on a mid-January night in, you know, in State College. That's a fact. It happened. But man, I don't care about it anymore. And I was going Northwestern when the Indiana national championship, the second one, and Ohio State was incredible, and Michigan was incredible, and Iowa was incredible. It was great. It was fun. Every other day you had something big, and the loss of that has been throughout college sports, certainly college basketball. What are we going to do about it? We're two old guys complaining about it.
Did you cover Lavin?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Lavin, okay. And I hated it. Yeah, I covered Lavin for many years.
Yeah, and that's the thing, right? Can you imagine today anybody – like a coach being hated as much as that guy was.
Yeah.
Right? Like we're people who didn't like him were like, what is it? You know, you talk about all the great programs that up and down the West Coast at that time. Right. And it's kind of like, what is this guy doing here coaching against Scoot Olsen? Right. Yeah. People would not like the passion for that would just not be there. Right. I remember, you know, I covered that team for a season, you know, when I was at the Daily Bruin, and I remember, you know, Matt Barnes got ejected from a game for elbowing a guy. And then, you know, I think maybe the next game might have been at Stanford, right? And everybody's like holding up signs and stuff. Like, stuff like that just wouldn't happen today.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah. It's sad. I mean, it was great stuff. Personalities, memorable games, great players. I remember Damon Stoudemire going up against UCLA. It was just great stuff. But it's gone. I don't think it's coming back. Way to go, UCLA and USC. Tremendously done, but so it goes. We can't cry about it forever. Let's talk a little NFL, the sport that drives almost everything in this world. 49ers get a solid, tough, efficient win in Cleveland. Brock Purdy bounces back. I am slashing back at the quarterback discourse. I just think it's stupid, but he's a good quarterback. He had a bad game. He was going to have a better game. I don't know what you guys think. He's not you just think of him as a seventh round draft pick. You don't think of him as a guy who's just proven he's good. He's a good quarterback. He might have another bad game at some point. And guess who had a bad game on Sunday in Carolina? That'd be Matt Stafford. I don't think Mac Jones should play over Matthew Stafford. And yet the discourse here is always that replace him, get rid of him, fire everybody. I still think the Rams are good. I still think the Rams could be the number one seed. I don't know if it's now the likeliest thing, but I still think they got to beat the Seahawks, right? They beat the Seahawks.
Yeah.
Then there, I don't know when that game is. It's pretty soon. That is
the Thursday night game. Yeah.
This Thursday night game?
No, this week, next week.
Okay, that could be for the number one seed and the NFC West. You still think the Rams are good? I think they're good, but
yeah,
.. to be determined.
Yeah. I mean, games like this happen, right? I mean, Stafford had three turnovers, you know, two picks, one that got returned for a touchdown, lost a fumble, you know, kind of after, right, kind of that fourth quarter, they had like a, right, it was on third down, they got called for a delay of game, you know, Stafford kind of owned that after. Things like that, again, over the course of a season, I'm kind of with you. These things kind of happen. They weren't going to win every single game, right? That's just not going to happen in the NFL, so...
Close your eyes, exhale, feel your body relax, and let go of whatever you're carrying today.
Well, I'm letting go of the worry that I wouldn't get my new contacts in time for this class. I got them delivered free from 1-800-CONTACTS. Oh my gosh, they're so fast.
And breathe.
Oh, sorry. I almost couldn't breathe when I saw the discount they gave me on my first order. Oh, sorry. Namaste.
Visit 1-800-CONTACTS.com today to save on your first order.
1-800-CONTACTS.
Disney's Lilo and Stitch has finally landed on Disney Plus. Now you can watch the global phenomenon at home with your Ohana.
Be good for 1 second. You're
the devil. Lilo and Stitch is verified hot on Rotten Tomatoes with an audience score of 93%.
Perfect.
Stitch is also cute and fluffy.
Disney's Lilo and Stitch, rated PG, now streaming on Disney Plus. And right now, you can get Disney Plus, Hulu, and all of ESPN with an incredible limited time offer. Terms apply.
In America, half of every dollar spent on brand medicines goes to entities who don't make them. While middlemen like PBMs and 340B hospitals drive up costs, Biopharma is investing $500 billion in new infrastructure and manufacturing here at home and helping patients buy medicines directly at lower prices. Tell Washington to end middlemen markups and put American patients first. Visit phrma.org/middlemen.
Yeah, I think they're kind of fine. The interesting thing to me, man, Niners are right there, man.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
They got a bye, right? And then they got a gimme.
Long awaited, much needed week 14 bye. They are loving this.
And then they get the 1-11.
They get the Titans at home when they always win after the bye anyway. So they're going to be 10-4. And that's amazing given what they've gone through, the injuries that they've got. It's an easy schedule, but now it gets hard after Tennessee. Then they got at Indy on a Monday night game. That's not going to be an easy game. I don't, you know, Indy's kind of falling back a little, but they're still pretty good. And then they got the Bears at home. That is a huge, huge game because the Bears are good. Then they finish with Seattle, home against Seattle. That could be for number one seed. It could be for the division. It could be just to hold a seed. Those are the three toughest games of the season, all back to back to back, but they'll be refreshed. They got guys coming back. They haven't had anybody seriously hurt in a while, which is unique for this season. I don't think they're great. They don't have a great pass rush. They're going to get Tatum Bethune, their backup middle linebacker, back probably. They really missed him in this game. And we'll see. The offense is pretty good. McCaffrey's really good. I don't think they're as good as the Rams. We saw in that game, obviously, Purdy wasn't playing, but the Rams are probably better, but I don't know who else. Maybe the Seahawks. We'll see. They'll have that game. The Eagles look really weird. The Lions might not make the playoffs. Green Bay doesn't look great. Man, I look up some of these teams that play the 49ers, and I go, God, they beat the Packers? How did that happen? Because they stink. So I think the Browns beat the Packers. Like, I'm looking up these games and going, I cannot believe these teams have beaten the Packers, who are I thought were good. 49ers are in there. I still think the Rams are the best team in the NFC, though. I've been thinking that for a little while. They did not look great defensively against Carolina, but that, again, you're right. It happens. At some point, I keep telling people, things change, and you can't just think the last thing you saw is the only thing that will ever happen again. You go up and you down. You take the average of it, and the average game by the Rams this season has been very good, and that's what they are. They're very good. They're not perfect, and nobody's perfect. Who's perfect? Who's going to win the AFC? I don't even know. Is it going to be New England Patriots going to win the AFC? It's the way the NFL goes. You have the Ravens, the Chiefs, and the Bills, the three favorites to maybe win the Super Bowl this year, all might not make the playoffs. That is wild in the NFL. You just have to take this and understand it, and teams go through dips and through rises. I just think overall, given the whole thing, that I still think the Rams might be the best team in the NFL.
How are things in the Bay Area? Like, is there Niner fever? Like, do people believe in this team now?
I think
are they still being viewed skeptically?
Because it's a little. It's more like, let's see them do it against better teams. There's always a group that hates Shanahan. There's always a group that hates Purdy. It's this weird. The 49ers have this weird group of angry fans who hate everything. So that's out there. They'll never believe that Shanahan can win the big game and never believe that Purdy will be the guy to get them there. But I think there's respect for what they've done to get to this place. It's been an easy schedule. It's not like that you can slap up all these incredible wins. Their two incredible wins came early in the season at Seattle to open the season, at LA in week four on a Thursday night. Beyond that, it's been decent, solid, do what you're supposed to do, which is what you do in the NFL. Now let's see them finish out strong. I think there's kind of a wait and see. I think that Rams game kind of hit everybody with some reality. Again, no Purdy, but the Rams just look better. They look classier. They look like they had it all put together. I don't think the 49ers are going to want to play the Rams. Now, McVay and Shanahan have this weird thing where maybe the 49ers do want to play them, but it just that's the kind of skill set that would not really do well for the 49ers. They want to play Shedeur Sanders. They want to play teams with quarterbacks who are really shaky. And that's not who you tend to play in the playoffs, but they did a pretty good job against Bryce Young. You know, they can do some things against shakier quarterbacks. We shall see how that goes into the future. There's always this rabidness. It's like an SEC. It's the closest thing that the Bay Area has to an SEC fan base of the 49ers. They're just rabid. They just scream and scream. And, you know, it's all this diffuse, weird stuff. And you just kind of have to, you know, manage through that. And I kind of, you know, push back on some things. That's what kind of gets some people mad at me. But it's huge. It's a humongous, traveling, you know, passionate fan base. So they go up and they go down. I don't think they should be sold on this team 100%. I don't think they are. But it's gaining respect, I think, that this is a good team figuring stuff out. Well-coached, even though 20% of the fan base always wants to fire Shanahan, the entire coaching staff. Well put together, although 20% of the fan base always wants to fire John Lynch and everybody put the roster together. But it is a team to deal with. You do have to deal with this team. And that's how I think they're going to go into playoffs that way. Like, okay, can beat them here, can beat them there, but we got to deal with Christian McCaffrey. And then Brock Purdy's got some things. And, you know, defensively, they got a scheme that sometimes can work. You know, it's more like that than it's, oh, watch this team. I think the Eagles can get there defensively. I think the Rams kind of have the best two-way team. And then I don't know what else in the NFC. You know, I always like the Lions, but, man, they're not even in the playoffs right now. It's just a weird mix. And the Seahawks are just tough. So it might be who gets the best path. Like if you get right. away where you yep. don't have to play two of those teams, you only have to play one of them. Because I don't know that you're going to beat two of the Eagles, Rams, Seahawks. You maybe if you only have to beat one of them, you have the other two knock each other out or whatever. It just feels like those are the three best teams in the NFC.
Yeah, it's just I think if you're a Shanahan believer, I think you got to feel pretty decent about this, though, right? I mean, you know,
well, it's like he's coached his ass off. Yeah, there's no question. I mean, again, but there's this set
of Bosa and Warner early in the season,
yeah,
right?
And Purdy for eight games,
right? And it feels like now, okay, whatever it is, right? You know, this is kind of their, like you said, they haven't had injuries recently. And it's kind of like, okay, this is kind of their team now. Right. And they seem to be on a bit of a roll. I know, Cleveland's not a world beater exactly. But I mean, given the weather conditions and everything, I thought it was a good win again.
Miles Garrett's a monster. And Cleveland's defense is real. And they've lost there. So,
yeah. And they didn't get to Purdy all too much, right?
No, he moved around, though. He moved around really well. Miles Garrett was all over him. And he just kind of sidestepped, moved around. That was kind of the really solid thing. He's throwing the ball away. He doesn't usually throw the ball away. He was just throwing it away. I'm not going to try to risk this, and let's come back and, you know, if we just play solid football, punt it, get the ball back, get the short field, score a touchdown. You're saying these things that are all true. I felt this about Shanahan last year when they went 6-11. Obviously, 6-11 again this year would have been bad. It's just this. No matter what they do until they win a Super Bowl, there is a solid segment of this fan base that will never believe in Shanahan until he wins a Super Bowl. Maybe that's fair. Maybe it's not. I think it's kind of, it's a high, high standard that only like three current coaches have met. So that's it. That's the only one that's ever going to matter. Like, at some point you got to go, like, can you get there? And at some point you're going to break through. I don't think this is the season they're going to break through, but I think this is the season that's showing what this culture, what this system can get to you, even when things are falling apart all around.
Well, the McVay thing cuts both ways, right? I do think it kind of gives, right, it gives them like an edge of sorts against when they play the Rams. It kind of, right, it's another kind of X factor there. But I do think having McVay in the division, him having won, right, probably.
Absolutely. And beat them and beat them that year in the NFC Championship game.
And you know what I heard recently that was kind of interesting was how McVay seems to kind of be more involved in the defense, I think, than a lot of people seem to think, right? And, like, you know, somebody was telling me, like, hey, he could actually run a, you know, you have to make him a defensive coordinator. He knows it. Yep. He knows it well enough now that he might be, you know, that he could probably do that right now. So that to me is kind of the fun thing, right? To me, those two guys are still kind of, and maybe it's just because I do this show, whatever. But to me, it does feel like the NFC West kind of revolves around those two coaches.
Yeah, you got Seattle. You got Seattle, but yeah, they do have this interplay. They do have this big brother, little brother thing, and there's nothing Shanahan likes more than beating the Rams. There is clearly that's the case. McVay, I think, has, you know, has a lot of other interests, but, man, Shanahan likes beating McVay and does it a lot when you don't think he should. they're two really great, two of the best coaches in the NFL. There's no question about it. One of them has a Super Bowl, the other one doesn't. But, you know, this, to me, if you're really looking at the 49ers, you're going, man, 2026 could be a monster. That's what I'm thinking. I know that's not great. You can't write that very often while you're still in 2025. But this team with this culture, one more prime year of McCaffrey, I think it's fair to ask and see if that's possible. Kittle, Trent Williams, you get Bosa and Warner back. Purdy, you know, at this level, a defense that has got some young players. That's a team that you go, okay, 2026, they could be a Super Bowl favorite. They have been Super Bowl favorites before, not one. If you can do this without Warner and Bosa, what can you do with them? Now, they might get hurt again. They might not be the same. All those things are obviously, you know, have to be factored in. But to me, this is like, okay, look at this. 2026, and then, you know, they're going to have a lot of money. By the way, they offloaded Brandon Ayuk $25 million. That's more money to spend, not so much on the cap, but just cash. I always say it's cash, not cap. They have this money they can guarantee to somebody that they couldn't. Like, hey, if they didn't have that money on the books this year, they could have signed Davante Adams, and that would have made a difference. And it's going to make a difference if Davante Adams plays them if they play in the playoffs. This sort of stuff matters. Let's see them do that. I think they will. I don't think they're going to take a two-year financial dip. And I think they're really loaded for bear for 2026.
Just to make a quick stop with the Chargers. How are you feeling there? They're 8-4 right now.
Yep.
They got a rough schedule kind of to finish off the season. It's Philadelphia, KC, Dallas, Houston, and Denver.
That's tough.
You know, they're one of those teams kind of bunched up there for the last, like, however many playoff spots. I don't know. You think they got a shot at making it at all?
You know,
I'm not very optimistic.
Yeah, they got the wins, but, you know, is Herbert going to miss some time with this hand issue?
He's going to play, right?
He's going to play, but is he going to be limited? Is he going to be favoring it? Can he run? Is he going to drop the ball? Is it going to hurt just to take a snap?
I think it's going to hurt. Yeah,
they're so banged up. They're getting wins though. Like, you know, you just look who else is going to get those wins. Like, at some point, the math is like, okay, we all can think, but Buffalo's going to win a bunch of games. Let's see them start winning a bunch of games. And I know that I think Chargers have pretty good tiebreakers. I mean, they got wins over the Chiefs and the Broncos. I don't love them. I don't love them if they get in the playoffs because they're so banged up, but they don't talk about a baseline. Like, this is a team that's gone through a lot and they're, you know, getting some wins. I mean, this is one of those, like, they could be stripped down to their second string across the board. They're going to beat the Raiders this year. Like, they're just going to beat the Raiders. Like, you just know it. I don't care what the Raiders do. I don't care if there's a special teams touchdown or whatever. It doesn't matter. They're going to beat the Raiders because they're just better put together than the Raiders and they're better coached than the Raiders. And they have this sense of that they should win that game. The Raiders have a sense that they should lose that game. That's what we're talking about, baseline. Does that mean going to play into the playoffs? I don't know. It feels like it's going to be Justin Herbert, save us, and that doesn't work in the playoffs for maybe one game at a time, but not over the length of it. The defense is still pretty good, though, right? I mean, they can hold you through it. It's just a matter, can they run the ball? And it does not seem like they can run the ball. I mean, maybe they ran it a little bit against the Raiders, but that doesn't count. Yeah. The freaking Browns go into the Raiders, and everyone's like, oh, my God, they beat the Raiders. They must be pretty good. I said, I don't think that counts. I don't think that one counts. I think they stink. And guess what? The Browns stink. Their defense is good. Their offense is terrible. And nothing matters that you do against the Raiders. Nothing at all. And but good on the Chargers for just making sure they win that game. It's tough. That's another team that might be really looking to 2026. I know it's bad to say in 2025, but you lose your best two offensive players other than Justin Herbert. That's tough to do, man. That is tough to survive in this league against in that division. I mean, can they stay ahead of the Chiefs? Do you think they're going to stay ahead of the Chiefs?
I think, again, the schedule wise, it might be tough. Kind of by the end of it, I wouldn't be surprised if they get past
that. So, what are they? Are they at eight and four? Can they go 2-2 and get to 10-2 and 3, 10-7?
Yeah, I think that's probably like the best case. They're gonna give themselves a chance, right? And you know, you mentioned kind of the run game. Vidal has kind of been, you know, like you said, he broke out. I think he had like 150 yards or something. I think he had a 60-yard. Run for a touchdown against the Raiders.
Raiders, you kind of cut that in half. That's like a 75-yard game against everybody else.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know what? Again, it's probably not a team you're going to love playing in the first round of playoffs, but a little limited. Feels a little 49er. I think the 49ers are actually, are better, in better shape right now just because they have a few more people healthy. But similar, maybe with a ceiling on them, but – if they get a little hot, they pull off some of these ones. I don't think Denver's great. They won 9 in a row. Every time I watch them, I go, I think they're going to lose today. And they come back and they figure out a way to win it. But I think the Chargers might sweep the Broncos. Might not win another one. They're just one of those teams that could rise up, beat a good team, and then not look good the rest of the way. I think they'll make the playoffs. I don't think they're going to last long in the playoffs, though. It's going to be tough to keep on going with all those things and just trying to hide the pass blocking, trying to hide the tackles, figuring out who's playing on the offensive line, hoping the defense makes a couple plays or two. And it's a lot. It's a lot to ask when some other teams is going to roll out the stars and go, now listen, Patriots could be vulnerable, right? They could be the number one seed to be vulnerable. Who's the other one? Oh, Bronco. Like either one of them, or could be the number one seed or number two seed and be a little vulnerable. So, like, if it's a 2-7, Patriots Chargers, that could be interesting. Just to see if things get tense. Young quarterback. I know Drake May is really good, but I wouldn't think the Chargers are going to go through the whole playoffs. But this is one of those. Let's see. It's a little shaky at the top, just because you don't know. These are not tested teams. Bo Nix in a playoff game. Let's see how that works. So, not a ringing endorsement of anybody right now. I don't know who's good. Who's good in the NFL right now? Who's good? The best team I think just lost to Carolina. So it's like, I don't know who's good. And I think you would love to play the Eagles in the playoffs in a lot of ways. You would hate to play that defense in the playoffs, though. It's just I think all these teams have these ups and downs. Like, are the Cowboys the smoking hot team? You want to, it just becomes this rise and fall. It's hard for me to put a finger on it other than I think the 49ers are in, and it'll be really interesting to see what happens to them. Let's see if they win that division. It would be amazing if they win the division this season. I don't think they will, but man, just that we can talk about it is pretty amazing.
Speaking of, are they good or not? Just real quick, I think we need to just touch on the NBA really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Lakers are 15-4 now, second amazing. In the West. Are you buying? It's interesting, right? Because defensively, they're not great. They're giving up a lot. They're scoring a lot of points. They're giving up a lot of points. Their shooting from three has not been good. So two kind of things that right in the playoffs kind of seem to matter. Are you buying on this Laker team? I mean, they got a stretch of I think we'll kind of find out in the next couple of weeks here. They got a stretch of games against teams with winning records. So I think we'll get a better idea of how good these guys are. But where are you on them right now?
Well, I'm looking at their games here. Since they got blown up by the Thunder a while ago, They've beaten the Pelicans, the Bucks. I think that was without Giannis. Utah twice. The Clippers were horrible. Dallas was horrible, and the Pelicans. So, right. You know, forgive me if I'm not saying that this is the best team in the league. I think they're good. I think they're. I've said that I thought the Warriors were better than them. I think they are this so far better than the Warriors, clearly, especially with LeBron back. But those are terrible teams.
Yeah.
So they played well. Every time I see the headline, I go, let's see who they played, though. And I go, oh, they played Utah. Oh, they played the Pelicans. They got the Suns, I think, tonight or whenever that is. And obviously that is a team that's played very well this season. Again, not a great team probably. But you could see it. You could see why there's excitement. I think the defense is going to get them at some point. But this is like the softest schedule I've ever seen. A run of like Pelican and Utah basketball here. So, hey, you got to win the games in front of you. You can't win the games that aren't in front of you. So good for them for that. I want to see them play some tougher teams. I want to see them have to figure out some things. But it's hard for me to make too many judgments. If the Warriors had done the same thing, I'd say the exact same thing. Going, I don't know. You know, the Warriors beat the Pelicans two nights ago. And the Pelicans didn't even have Trey Murphy. They didn't have a bunch of people. So what, you know, Warriors don't have Curry. Like at some point it's hard. You just look at the record at the end, but let's see the Lakers and the Warriors do this against good teams. The Warriors have had a tough schedule, have been on the road a lot. They didn't really correct it in this homestand. Then they got Oklahoma City tomorrow. I don't think they're going to correct it there when they don't have Curry, but, you kind of,
Kuminga's back, right?
Kuminga is back. He didn't play great in his return. He is back. That will be an interesting thing. I still believe that they will look to trade him. Maybe they don't do it in January or February, but maybe they do. They'll do it in the offseason. One of the two. He's looking at me a little. He doesn't like me right now. That's okay. I just don't think this is the best fit for him, and he's the best fit for them. Some of the people are not thrilled with me for continuing to say it. That's life. Maybe I'm completely wrong, but that's the way they get better. They need to get a more athletic player. Maybe it's him. He's very athletic. It doesn't quite fit. An athletic player who fits what they do, because they really can't get to the rim. They can't beat their man. They're very stationary. When Steph's out there and going, it flows. Obviously, it would flow with anything. When Steph's not out there or when Steph isn't having a great game, man, it clunks. It really clunks. So maybe it's Kuminga. Maybe it's not. For some reason, what I said a couple weeks ago really seems to have gotten – like that has taken hold, that it's this incredible mean criticism or it's the incredible truth. I don't know why. I just said it. Like, they beat the Spurs of two biggest wins of the year on the road in the middle of a crisis without Kuminga. That's to be noted. And that just thing of friggin' shook the world. I don't know why. Maybe it's because it was on a sensitive point. Maybe it's either exactly true or slightly wrong. But that's the way life goes. I'll walk back in that locker room, and if they want to glare at me, they can glare at me. It's all okay.
I hate to extend this show even more, but I just forgot about something that I saw. I was actually hoping that this wouldn't get out before we recorded, but I think Buster Olney put something out a few days ago about Imai and the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
My understanding is that, and I got this from a non-Boris related source.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So it's coming from elsewhere in the baseball world, but I did hear that that's like a real thing.
Okay.
You know, and
that would be great if he really wants to go up against the Dodgers. Like he said, that would be fun to watch.
And it's a fascinating thing, too. Right. I mean, I think how various teams kind of deal with kind of the Scott Boras. Right.
Yes.
And kind of dealing with that whole situation. You know, obviously, there's some teams that just say, hey, you know what? You know, right. For a while, like the Washington Nationals.
Yeah, well, you got whatever. Yeah,
GM, right?
Yeah. I think one of the reasons Zaidi was fired was he was leaning that way. Like, Scott, who do you got for me this year? And that's not a great place to be. And I know the Giants did not want to be there. I don't think they love dealing with Boris, but they can do it. You know, they've signed Boris clients, but now what's the number going to be?
Right,
I think that becomes the issue. Yeah. And you balance it out in marketing, right? I mean, that's kind of what the Dodgers have done. Can you convince yourself that if you're paying them $30 million a year, that it's going to be offset somehow? And, you know, what I warn is just because he's built like Yamamoto and he's right-handed and Yamamoto's great doesn't mean he's Yamamoto.
Correct.
You know, Yamamoto might not be Yamamoto for the rest of his career. You don't know. It's just so like the last thing you saw from someone who reminds you of him isn't the way he's going to be. In fact, you should set your sights way lower than that. Right. But yeah, I mean, it's only money. If they can afford it and they can make a splash and he wants to go there, I think he could be really good. You know, is your number three starter, lock him behind Webb and Robbie Ray? That's not terrible. They do need starting. I think they are going to be a little leery of Boris.
Yeah.
But he's in his 20s. You know, they hate the thing over 30, and I agree with them on that. But I definitely warn against is just because a guy reminds you of a guy who was great in the last time you saw him doesn't mean that your guy is going to be great. In fact, it probably means he's not going to be as good. Yeah. Just be aware of that. I've read things you said. He's not considered to be as good as Yamamoto, even Yamamoto's coming out. So, like, just lower the expectations. Think of, you know, like a Senga or something. Right. But then, are you paying for Senga? Or are you paying for because you want him to be Yamamoto? That's the warning I would give on that one. But it would be fun. It would be fun. Him going up against the Dodgers, it would be fun.
Coca-Cola for the big, for the small, the short, and the tall. Peacemakers, risk takers, for the optimists, pessimists, for long distance love, for introverts and extroverts, the thinkers and the doers, for old friends and new. Coca-Cola, for everyone. Pick up some Coca-Cola at a store near you.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. Listening to this podcast? Smart move. Being financially savvy? Smart move. Another smart move? Having State Farm help you create a competitive price when you choose to bundle home and auto. Bundling. Just another way to save with a personal price plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Toast the holidays in a new way and raise a glass of rum chata. A delicious creamy blend of horchata with rum. Enjoy it over ice or in your coffee. Rum chata, your holiday cocktails just got sweeter. Tap or click the banner for more. Drink responsibly. Caribbean rum with real dairy cream, natural and artificial flavors. Alcohol 13.75% by volume, 27.5 proof. Copyright 2025 Agave Logo Brands, Pewaukee, Wisconsin. All
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media, and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life, and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Rights reserved.
And I think, again, right, we're kind of trying to still figure out who Posey is, and is as an executive. Yeah. You know, kind of one thing that the person that I spoke to told me was, yeah, it's his preference to not deal with that, right, with Scott. But if he has to, if he likes a player, he will. And then kind of the next thing here is, you know, knowing when to kind of leave the lot, so to speak, right, where you don't want to end up where the Blue Jays just did, where somehow they're paying Dylan Cease, right, $210 million. They hung around too long. Next, you know, somehow they're paying $30 million a year for the next 7 years to Dylan Cease.
Yeah.
You don't want to do that because that contract can kill you. The only thing with him,
I don't think it's fair to think that he should be worth $10 million a year in marketing. I don't think he would. But they could try to figure out some equation there where they're not really paying that kind of money, at least in their minds. We'll see. I don't think they're going to go. They're not going to $200 million. They're not. Are they going $130? $150? They've paid a lot of money to Adamas, Chapman, you know, Jung-Hoo Lee, a Boris client. I think Chapman's Boris client too. I think.
Yes. Yeah, I think he is. Yeah.
So, you know, that was basically a Posey deal. So, but that was an extension that Boris probably did not want to do at the time, other than unless he had read the market and knew it wasn't going to happen as a free agent. I wouldn't rule it out. I just think the over-emotion part of it is maybe not a real Posey thing, although he jumped in there for, what, $250 million of Rafael Devers. So he might do it here. I just don't know if it's going to be a bidding war. I don't know who else would be involved in this, because you could kind of take the Padres out now. They're not doing that. The Dodgers out. So is it, what, Seattle and the Yankees and the Mets? You know,
Yeah, and probably more Seattle, you know, because I think with Murakami, I think kind of the word out there is that he's probably headed east. Okay. You know, that said, most Japanese players kind of prefer being on the West Coast just because it's just closer to Japan, right? Easier for your family to come visit here. It's closer for you when you go back. And so kind of the feeling with Imai right now is that he's probably looking West Coast. So, yeah, I think it's probably Seattle's going to be the other team that's in there.
Well, people are going to I got to put this in the headline. Giants fans are going to love this part. They're going to love Dylan Hernandez with insight on Imai and the Giants. The Boris part does stop me. But, you know, Zach Gallen's Boris, too. Like, you do have to deal with this guy.
Yeah.
They haven't always wanted to, but they did Jung-Hoo Lee. They did Chapman again. I think part of the reasons why Zaidi's fired, I've said this before, that when I knew he was going to get fired is when Scott Boris was coming forward and saying he's done a great job, they shouldn't fire him. Like, that was like, done. You're done. Not that Scott Boris is the guy you avoid. It's that Scott Boris knew he had set up somebody who just could service the Scott Boris Corporation and sign one of his guys every year. And you just don't want to be in that position. You don't want to be, you know, bowing to the Boris Corp and every year overpaying somebody. You just don't want to do it. And they did not love their Blake Snell relationship.
Maybe Farhan's learned his lesson and he won't, you know.
With the Lakers, now that he's running the Lakers.
Getting on his knees for Clutch Sports. Or
hey, maybe it's the right way to go. Who's to say? It was not the right way to go for the Giants there. Just that he had not produced the talent, so he had to go to Scott every year. That was the worry, and I would not like that myself. It was, again, like Washington overpaying all these guys, and you know, you want to pay for future performance, not for past performance. And sometimes with these deals, like Dylan Cease, I don't know, what are you even paying for? You're not paying for past performance. You're paying for potential imaginary.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, they're just paying for innings at this point, right? I mean, he's a 4-5 ERA guy. I mean,
I like his stuff, but it never seems to be put together. And I certainly wouldn't pay him $200 million. But at some point, that's the price of doing business. You know, it's a very profitable franchise that went to the World Series, was three pitches away from winning the World Series. Maybe the Giants can get there with some kind of move like that, I would be interested. Amai would be fine with me. Even if they overpay him, you're going for something different. I just think the idea that Yamamoto was incredible, this guy reminds us of Yamamoto, so he's going to be Yamamoto, is always the wrong way to go. It's completely the wrong way to go. Judge him based on your own evaluation and pay him for what that you think that's worth, wherever that number is. Dylan, save the good one for the end. My God. Dude, yeah. We could have gone 45 minutes.
We got too much, man.
Yeah, it's, wow. In a potentially quieter time, we got ready to go. You got me ready for the winter meetings. That's like next week, right? I think it's next week.
Oh, that's right. So, yeah, thank God.
Maybe some action.
I'm not doing that stuff anymore.
Yeah, I hate the winter meetings. But I'm trying to talk to some of those guys. And
when was the last time you went?
Went one time. It was in New Orleans. God, I'm trying to remember.
Well, of course, you went to New Orleans.
Yeah. When I got assigned to it as Mercury News, okay. and I had to do both teams. Man, that was exhausting. You have to do both teams. The A's weren't doing much, but it was fascinating to go from a Billy Bean suite daily, debriefing to a Brian Sabian suite. It was very different, but it was not fun. Just in the lobby and agents storming around and writers not wanting to talk to you because you're not in the writer club. You're in the writer club. I'm not in the baseball writer club. So it was really weird.
Although I'm aging out of the writer club.
You are.
The writer club has become very young because it's too much. It's too much of a grind now.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't like a lot of these kids. I just don't know now. So
you can say that about a lot of things, Dylan. All right, everybody. That's been a long show full of good stuff. We will come back to you next week, but glad to do it right now with tons of things. Maybe there will be a signing that we can talk about with Dylan Hernandez being a prime source, as always, for Japanese baseball. All right, everybody. See you.
Doug. Here we have the Limu Emu in its natural habitat, helping people customize their car insurance and save hundreds with Liberty Mutual. Fascinating. It's accompanied by his natural ally, Doug.
Limu? Is that guy with the binoculars watching us?
Cut the camera. They see us.
Only pay for what you need at libertymutual.com.
Liberty, 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 liberty.
Savings vary. Underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates. Excludes Massachusetts.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.